We've never seen anything like this because nothing like this has ever happened. Join us right now on the Buyer's Barricade Ticket Hotline. Your friend and ours, Evan Grant of the Dallas Morning News. Hi, Evan.
Hello, gentlemen.
Jeez.
How you doing, man?
Well, my head's on a swivel.
It ought to be. It ought to be. Yeah. I follow this guy on Twitter named Evan Grant.
That's him on the line.
I didn't know if they were the same guy. I didn't want to assume, but he tweeted 36 minutes ago, the Rangers have committed $561 million to players in the last 24 hours.
It's insane, right? I mean, I went back and I looked earlier today, Bob, at the biggest offseason spending sprees in baseball history. And the best I could find was the Yankees spending $471 million after the 2013 season. And that included the posting fee and everything associated with Tanaka. If you're just looking at free agent dollars, nobody's ever spent more than $430 million in an offseason on free agents. And the Rangers have blown by that by $100 million, and I'm really not sure they're done. I know there is still room in this budget for Clayton Kershaw if he chooses to pitch for the Rangers. And I'm not so sure that they won't go out and still add an outfielder as well.
So whenever they made the bold proclamation a few weeks ago that, hey, we're in the market, let's go, let's spend some money, we got $150 million that we just want to give to whoever, did you guys, I mean, you obviously, you're as close as anyone is to that joint over there, did you in a million years think that this is what they meant?
I believe that they were willing, and guys had told me, more than one person had told me, that this team had a ton of money to spend and that there was like up to $100 million they could add to the payroll. What they did, in a number of guys that they've added, these are all guys to me that fit the blueprint for what the Rangers said they were looking for in terms of championship-type pedigrees. I guess the only surprise for me is that you can go out and say, we've got all this money to spend. You can have a great spiel, which Chris Young and Chris Woodward, I know, put forward to all these players, but you're still a 100-loss team. Yeah. And it's hard to get guys to be convinced the first guy just to say, okay, I'm going to take it. And I think the market looks at the Semien deal and sees 7 years as opposed to five and thinks probably the Rangers extended a little bit farther than they should have to get him. But the bottom line is you're going to have to pay a penalty for the inactivity and the inability to sign guys over the past few years. If that's the penalty that you pay, so be it. What it did is it opened doors to getting John Gray and now Corey Seager, and there may yet be more to come.
Okay, so let's establish a few things here. I just heard you say what I believe to be Semien. I have been going with that as well. I heard others who I trust say Semien. We're going to stay with Semien, right?
Yes, I believe the pun that Scott Boras, his agent, used during the GM meetings was that teams could use a Semien conductor. So the takeaway from that is that Boras pronounces it Semien, and that he's worse with the dad jokes than I am.
And he's played the Rangers like 20 games for the last decade, every single year. So we probably should have a consensus on this by now. But whatever. Okay, so with Semien and Seager, the claim has already been made out there that the Rangers have the best middle infield in Major League Baseball. What do you say to that?
I say, yeah. I mean, you've just spent $400.
You better.
Better be pretty good. But, you know, the middle infield it's the backbone of a club. You want to be strong up the middle. And those two guys, you've got a Gold Glove winner at second base in Semien. You've got perhaps the most athletic, offensive shortstop in the game in Corey Seager. And I still think that there is potentially more work to be done in the infield so that you could, at the very end of this, Bob, you could be saying it's not the best middle infield in the game. It might be the best infield. And let me just point this out. The A's have made Matt Olson available. I know the Rangers would have interest in Matt Olson in a trade, and they now have certainly the inventory to potentially go out and interest the A's in that. In Justin Foscue now, whose path to the majors may be blocked, in Nate Lowe, who would, you know, who could be basically phased out at first base if they add Olson, and you've got Josh Young, your top prospect and probably the top prospect in terms of advanced hitting that's come through this organization in quite some time, potentially ready to step in at third. And as of this moment, your utility guy won a Gold Glove at third base last year in 2020, was an above-average defender at shortstop this year, and can play all over the field. So you could, by the time, whenever the baseball season starts, depending on this lockout that we're staring out, the Rangers could very well have the best infield in all of baseball, and it would be a core, right?
Yeah.
Championship teams have cores.
So the lockout, I feel like we may have to have you on whenever this all goes down, and it may be completely separate, but how much the timing of the lockout, how much did this, or does that play into what's gone on in the last 2 days and the seeming free-for-all?
You know, I think it's a great question, Corby, and I've written this down, and I've tried to get some perspective from guys, and I think basically what happened here is there is some kind of deadline out there. This is in relation to the lockout as opposed to like a free agency window. But there is a deadline out there, and I think that agents and players have leveraged that to get the best deals on the table, and teams have gotten aggressive because of it. And this is why I feel strongly that Major League Baseball, like other sports, should go to some kind of free agency window. You get rid of a lot of nonsense. MLB has seized the day over the last 48 hours, but from the NFL, from everything else, with what's going on. There's a lot going on in sports right now, but nobody is making Major League Baseball in its offseason an afterthought at this point.
This is Evan Grant. The Rangers have been very busy. Marcus Semien for $175 million. Corey Seager for $325 million. Also add in Jonathan Gray, the pitcher, and Cole Calhoun. And you are saying we should not rule out the possibility that Clayton Kershaw could still be in the mix. Let's get a few thoughts on Gray in particular, where he fits in the mix, and what Kershaw's decision is.
Yeah, I think going into the offseason, the Rangers knew that they needed to get a pitcher with some upside who could give them some innings. And Gray's pitched 150 innings four times in the last 5 years. That's the most important thing, is they need some innings to stabilize that rotation. They feel like the young guys in the rotation, particularly Dunning and potentially Hearn, are guys who could really kind of establish themselves next year, and they've got some real depth in terms of prospects among prospects, or some real depth and talent among the prospects. But they needed somebody to pitch some innings, and that was the first step. John Gray does that. Obviously, getting a guy out of Colorado in the thin air there potentially changes, is a game changer for him. The next step is, does Clayton want to pitch in Texas and be closer to his family and be part of potentially the first championship club in Rangers history as kind of the last chapter in his career? Now, that could be 3 years from now, could be 4 years from now, but I think the only reason he leaves the Dodgers and comes to the Rangers is if he thinks he's going to finish his career in Texas. I don't think he comes here for a year or for two and with the idea that he's going to go somewhere else. It's closing a chapter on the Dodgers. He'll always be basically this generation Sandy Koufax, and he would go to the Rangers to kind of finish out the second half of his career, and who knows where that could go if he's healthy. But there's questions about when he's going to be ready to pitch. Doctors have told him that his arm is going to be okay, that it doesn't need surgery. But he made four starts in the second half last year, and that's still something to be concerned about and something that he's got to be sure about before he takes the mound again.
It has a very Nolan Ryan to Texas feel to it, you know, as far as end of the career, not really knowing what to expect. I mean, obviously there was a huge buzz when the Rangers got him, but everybody knew it was the end. They didn't know how spectacular the end was going to be. And, you know, maybe you get lucky with him, but hell, it just, for namesake alone, it just reeks of what they did 30 years ago.
Again, and if you're, you know, the thing that Nolan brought beyond the 5,000 strikeout and the two no-hitters and all of that, the thing that Nolan brought, and again, he brought with his presence when he came back to the club as a president, was integrity and a connection with the fans. I think that what Kershaw does is, again, kind of gives you that connectivity to integrity, to a championship blueprint, and to something that your fans really look forward to. You know, if he starts every fifth day, there's going to be some excitement about going out to see Clayton Kershaw pitch. But I also think, listen, we're sitting here talking about Clayton Kershaw. I'm not so sure the Rangers won't still go out and add an outfielder as well. So, guys, I said they could add $100 million to the payroll there at $76 million for next year. There's still some room to go here, and it's going to get very interesting. But I don't see the Rangers doing anything else before the deadline, quite frankly. I think it's just going to be impossible to get somebody signed and even get a physical done before Thursday.
Do you tie in the Chris Woodward extension to any of this? Like, I don't know, did Corey Seager want to know that Woody was here? Was that meaningful to him? Is there anything to connecting those dots, or is that just business being done?
To me, it's all symbiotic. I feel like Chris Young's presence here has been a big factor in getting some of the people that they got, whether it's, you know, in research and development like Darren Willman, or whether it was the coaches that they were able to get from the Giants and Donnie Ecker, and from the Red Sox and Tim Hires, or convincing Jack Leiter to go ahead and sign here for what the Rangers were offering. I think that's played a part. I think Chris Woodward's energy and transparency, and certainly his prior relationship with guys like Corey Seager, does play a part. It's impossible for guys to be at field level with Chris Woodward and not feel that positivity. And I think, yes, that played a part. I think clearly, you know, ownership saying we're going to back up and pay market prices and or above to get things done after the bad routes that they took in 2019. I think all of those play a part, and you put them all together, you've got a pretty formidable force to go out and actually bring people in here.
Well, I'm happy for you too, because it ain't no fun to cover a team that's been as bad as they have the last couple of years. And, you know, it's not like seasons in hell in the 70s, but it ain't far away. So, congratulations to you for having something positive to talk about and write about and go to the park and see.
No, I will say, I mean, they all throughout this 100-loss season, everybody in that organization tried to keep a real positive approach and said, there are better days coming, there are better days coming. They promised that they were going to spend. John Daniels said that there were not going to be any half measures. And here's the thing, they backed it up. You know, they've come out and they backed it up. And they did it in a circumstance where not many people are able to land this type of free agent coming off that kind of year. It's a significant accomplishment, and I think it's changed the arc of this franchise.
You know, they had to do this because booking Evan Grant onto the show can't just be about his charm. There has to be some real meat in there, mm-hmm. and they provided the meat. So that's another positive out of this move. I don't know if you want to put that in your column or whatever, but that's fine.
I'm always happy when you're talking about my meat.
He really is.
Well,
and with that,
I don't know what to do with that. So, Evan, thank you so much, and let's talk again soon.
All right, you guys, just everybody make sure and take care of Corby for me. I'm really concerned about him today.
Boy, we all are, and at 5:30 we'll start to unpack what condition he's in and what the tentacles of his entire weekend are going to turn out to be.
Venables may be a coach by then, so we'll see, Evan. Stay tuned.
Or right. Corby might.
It's going to be okay, Corby.
All right.
It's going to be okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't wear a USC shirt today.
Appreciate that.
There's Evan. There's Evan Grant.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.